It was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife.
You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view, until you climb inside of his skin and walk around in it.
Why, sometimes I believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast.
This is the Rima Book Club.
Hey, welcome to the Rima Book Club. You're with Alison and Jess here today. Hi, Alison.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
Have you had a great month of reading?
I've read a lot of, well, not a lot. I've read a few books this month.
Yeah, a lot of fiction for me this month.
That's good. Fiction's good. I love fiction.
Fiction's easy to read.
It is. Oh, sometimes.
So,
most of the time. Most of the time.
Yes. You're right.
There's occasionally I'm like, really? Why am I reading this? I mean, that's because I just don't finish the book then.
Yeah.
But then usually I don't tell you about the books I don't finish.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough.
unless it was really bad reasons why I didn't finish. Like, it was just an awful, awful, awful book.
But you have to finish the book of the month.
Yes. We finish the book of the – I always finish the book of the month.
Yes.
Even if
it's the last minute.
That's right. I have been known to crack the book 2 days before recording.
Oh, wow. At least it's fresh in your mind then.
Actually, that's kind of why I do it.
Yeah.
I don't generally start them until 5 days before we record.
Okay.
So that it is fresh in my mind. Sometimes I regret that because I'm like, oh, it's way more in here than I thought. Oh, it's going to take some time to think. I don't have time to think. I just need to read.
Well, for our book of the month, if the listeners have been reading along with us, it's called The Weight of Air by Kimberly Duffy. And it's a bit of a different book than what we've usually read.
It's women's fiction / romance. Probably more 60% women's fiction, 40% romance.
Yeah.
It's set in 1911. And it revolves around the circus.
Yeah, definitely revolves around the circus.
Completely. So it's if you don't love circus books.
You won't love this.
Well, you won't love it, but you might be like, oh, okay. Now, I don't love circus books, but I'm bound to read the book. So, and actually, look, I didn't hate it by any means,
enjoyed it, to be honest.
Yeah, so did I. Excuse me. It certainly brought up a lot of very interesting things, which we'll get to soon. But from the start, it's like the title, The Weight of Air, it's actually a good title.
Yeah, I like that title.
Because there's a lot of weighty issues in this book. Mm. And although it makes you think that it's just centred on a aerialist, or we would call them an acrobatic artist, when it's actually not. That's only one half of the characters in the book. But it does focus on a mother and daughter who get reunited and their individual journeys to wholeness and peace and better self-worth is probably a good way of just explaining it.
Yes.
And what else was I saying? I had the whole train of thought and it's just flown out the window.
Well,
like an aerialist.
I'll talk a little bit and then you can think about what you're going to say. I think one of the main characters that it centers around is Mabel. And Mabel's a strong woman, so she does like the lifting up weights and bending bars.
Yes, I don't quite know how tall she is.
I think that's about 6 foot.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but when they talk about it, it sounds like a giant.
I know.
The descriptions.
I know.
And her husband's an aerialist. But when they talk about them compared to each other.
I know. It paints a really awkward mental image of like just even them sitting beside each other. It's like she's really tall and is she really little? I don't even think he's not that little. I think he's standard guy height
and muscly because he's, you know, grabbing hold of things in midair. And
yes, I think he's very fit and got a very strong physique.
Yes,
but I think just the way it's described as a reader, I was like trying to constantly throughout the book work out in my head how the two of them would be pictured even just sitting next to each other or just doing anything with each other. I was like, it just didn't come across to me as particularly clear and easy to understand.
Do you know the character Andre the Giant?
Yes.
I kind of thought of her as a female Andre the Giant
me
sort
too.
Of build and height.
Me too. Is that wrong of us?
That's all I had in my head. And the descriptions didn't really help.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe that's our only frame of reference.
Yeah.
Maybe. So
a big, strong woman was super big and super strong.
Yeah, rather than... Or the other image in my head was, have you seen Encanto?
Yes.
The strong sister.
Oh, yes.
That's what was in my head.
That's probably a more flattering image.
Yes, I would say. Poor Andre the Giant. But yes, so that was my secondary image. And I think I lent more into that as I kept reading the book.
Yes.
Actually, I don't even know what colour hair Mabel's hair was.
Black, I think.
Black? Yeah. Okay.
And she thinks her mother has passed away when she was a little girl, but she finds some letters after her father dies that show that her mum's still alive, or maybe is still alive.
Yep.
So she heads off to
New York
to look for her mum.
In another circus.
Yes. So, when we're reunited with her, we find out she's physically quite different to her
she's
daughter.
She's tiny. I feel like she's like teeny tiny gymnast size.
Yes, sounds like that.
And I guess now that we're kind of talking about it, that everyone was either really big or really little.
Yes.
And I had a really lot of trouble
picturing all these
characters. Yes, that's exactly what it was.
Because it seemed like characters or characters, really. Like, not...
Yes.
You couldn't... Yeah, I don't know why and either.
I guess the author was deliberately trying to point out that, I mean, the mother, Isabella, because this is one of the weighty issues we'll get into a bit more detail later, but has postpartum depression and depression. And so she struggled to birth an 11-pound baby.
Because
she's so tiny. And her husband was a strong man. And he reminded me of there was another image. Have you seen the Disney movie Brave?
Yes.
Her dad.
Okay, I can't quite picture him.
Okay, but like just...
Big, brawny
wide
guy.
And not necessarily crazy tall, but wide. And that's what I was like, and I'm just picturing all these and I'm like, I can't put it all together. But I get it. Why am I don't know why I'm losing all my train of thought today. I'll let Alison talk again. I'm losing my train of thought.
So eventually, Mabel travels to New York.
Yep.
And she has a relationship with she doesn't really have a relationship. She has a fake relationship with Jake.
Who's her friend,
who decides to travel with her, but because of money, financial concerns, they were like...
And propriety.
Yeah, and just so project reputation. Yes.
So for financial concerns, they need to share a room.
Yes.
But that would be improper in 1911, and so they decide to get married. It's a real marriage, but it's fake emotionally.
And they plan to get annulled when they get to New York.
Yes, and after she's found her mother and is able to support herself.
Yes.
Obviously that doesn't happen, people. It's not a spoiler.
No.
It's romance. It doesn't happen.
It's a bit of a slow burn romance.
It is exactly what it is. It is a slow burn romance.
But I quite like that romance. I thought it was interesting. But I haven't had much experience with the fake marriage trope,
talked
about.
It's one of my favourites.
Yeah.
Fake dating, fake marriage. Love it. Marriage of convenience, which is what this is, a marriage of convenience.
Yes.
It's a massively popular trope in books and, movies as well. Like lots of rom-coms, you do see they do fake date.
Yeah, that's true.
Either Hallmark ones, there's loads of fake dating.
Yeah.
People just love it because it's the whole, oh, we're not going to fall in love, but you know they are and you want to watch them fall in love while they pretend not to be. That's what's fun about it.
I see, yeah.
Fits nicely with one of the books I'm currently reading into our little theme of fake relationships. So we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, so they get to New York. They get reunited with the mother.
Mm-hmm. I actually liked them. I thought we would actually spend most of the book like them establishing a new relationship. And like I thought they would reunite but then have a lot of trouble and then... But instead, they actually reunited quickly and well.
Yeah, very warmly.
Yes, and were actually actively working on their relationship for the second half of the book rather than being apart and whining about it.
No.
I like that.
It was a nice reunion, actually.
It was, and not fraught with drama.
Well, Isabella's career is starting to come to an end. She's 50. And she's still working as an aerialist, she's doing well. But
She's doing well. She's not bringing in the same crowds as she was. And, I mean, the circus back then, and, you know, still now, I guess, but back then it's beauty for women. You know, if you're not young and beautiful, they're going to toss you aside. And so she's doing everything she can to basically remain young and beautiful. If she can't do that, she's going to do daring acts that put her in danger, potentially.
To wow the crowd.
Yes, even more. So she can continue being valuable to the owner of the circus.
And when Mabel turns up, she starts an act with her, which is quite an interesting thing. But then she's doing some daring stuff in that.
Yes, so that gets ganked.
Yes.
And there's a lot of talk about self-worth and values, but why don't we take a quick break and then we'll talk about that.
It sounds good. We'll be back after this.
This is the Rima Book Club.
And we're back here on the book club, the Rima Book Club, with Alison and Jess. And we've been talking about our book of the month, which is The Weight of Air by Kimberly Duffy. So we've got to a point where we're talking about self-worth and how some of the characters see themselves, especially Mabel, really.
Yeah, it was more Mabel's self-worth in particular that was, like, Isabella had her own focus issues, and Mabel's were most about self-worth and what she, like, we talked, you know, off, like, before we continued recording, we were talking about how Mabel is like a strong woman. So she's like literal physical embodiment of a strong person, yet she doesn't feel strong inside herself.
She can't even perform by herself.
No,
she
can't.
Yeah, she just freezes up.
Yeah, she has like stage fright, and then she feels shame about that. She has a lot of shame about that.
Mm-hmm.
But people keep telling her she has to be strong, yet they keep making decisions for her. Mm. So she's actually quite internally conflicted.
Yes.
And it takes her the length of the book, which is appropriate, to start working out that she can make her own decisions. And she starts not telling people to stop making decisions for her, but going, hey, can I have a say in what's happening with my life?
Mm.
And I liked that. But it really does bring up, you know, thoughts in you as a reader about how we handle self-worth, the things our parents say to us, even things they, you know, don't mean to say, things you overheard as a kid, because there's scenes where Mabel's remembering some of the things she overheard, and her parents certainly would never have meant to hurt her. They were having an adult discussion between the two of them.
Yes.
And
probably trying to determine her role in the circus.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they're saying things like she's too big.
Because her mum
can't be an aerialist.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then so she's going to end up being a strong woman like her dad, the strong man.
Yes.
So all Mabel hears is, I can't be like my mother.
Yes.
And so therefore she's failed somehow.
Yeah.
And her dad didn't help. Her dad, in trying to protect everyone, her dad kind of messed up.
Yes.
And we only meet him in flashback. But yeah, in trying to look after everyone, he kind of actually hurt everyone.
Yes.
But there is a very strong message of forgiveness for him, even though he's passed away. And there's a very strong message of understanding that he did this out of his own shortcomings. Because even though he's dead when we, you know, in the present, we even get some of his own backstory as to what led him to do and say these things.
Yes, yes.
Which is good.
Yeah. They're quite sympathetic towards him, really.
Yeah, really. Like, just acknowledging, you know, he's had his own very rough childhood, and out of that grew decision-making that he was trying so hard to do his best with, but actually ended up harming more people. Mm. And isn't that just how it goes, though?
Yes.
Like, a lot of people grow up in you know, because the dad, I can't remember his name right now, they just call him Dar, but he grew up in
Bram.
Bram, thank you. Look at that. Alison's got it all sorted. Bram grew up in a very abusive home, and so he wants the opposite of that, which is good, but he never was able to understand how that growing up actually affected him, though.
Yes.
And, you know, in some ways we live in a much – we live in a really our point in society now where, you know, we're openly talking about how trauma affects us and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really good time to be in that regard.
Yeah. It's not all hidden away and
that's right.
Never mentioned.
And no, that that's right.
Speaking of
hidden away.
We probably should just do a little bit of a trigger warning because we're going to start talking about some stuff which is quite...
depression.
Suicide.
Suicide, postnatal depression.
Yeah. So, yeah, we kind of touched on it before, but we're just going to dive a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
So, Isabella.
Yeah, so the mum, so Mabel's mum.
Yeah, we look at this where she is now and... kind of, I've wondered, how did she get here? You know, how did she get to this point, you know, where she's so desperate to stay in the circus and she's so...
Well, it's wrapped up in her self-worth as well. Yeah,
worried about her appearance and that kind of thing.
And her future.
And her future, yeah. So they do flash back a bit and tell us things that happened in her life that were quite traumatic, really. She had a fiancé early on who committed suicide after a day after he asked her to marry him.
Yes, the day after. And I think she carried that with her as she thought part of it was her fault.
Yeah.
And so carried that with her, carried with her the fact that she had a baby that was too big and she nearly died trying to birth the baby.
And then she couldn't love the baby like she wanted to.
That's right. So yeah. There's your postnatal depression. And she couldn't bond with the baby the way she wanted to or the way she thought she should, all those things. And so we meet her and she's just trying to cling on to the only thing she knows she can do well, which is being an aerialist.
Yeah.
And it leads her to make some very questionable decisions.
Yeah.
But...
And she still talks about having periods of melancholy.
Yes.
So depression.
Yeah.
So it's not just postnatal depression for her. It's definitely depression as well.
Yes, yeah. It is. And
she's worried that, there's a Robert who has fallen in love with her.
Yeah, Robert's a lifelong friend.
Yes. And he really wants to marry her.
And she's like, she's broken.
Yeah, she pushes him away because she's worried that he'll go through some of the depression with her and then reject her.
And in some ways that's what happened with her first husband, Bram,
yes.
Which is Mabel's dad, that they keep referring to as the melancholy, when it takes over her, you know, because she did try to hurt herself and potentially and didn't try to hurt Mabel, but Mabel got caught in the...
Yeah, she endangered Mabel's life.
Endangered Mabel's life. And... So, you know, the worry is, will she do it again? Will she hurt someone else? So she's really, really conflicted and really scared because she does want to be loved. She wants to be loved so badly, but she's so scared that she's going to have someone, she's going to hurt someone or bring them down and that she almost feels unlovable.
Yeah.
Because she's so broken.
Yeah. Yes. She pushes people away.
Yes.
Yeah.
And... Actually, she doesn't actually push Mabel away.
She doesn't actually. That was a bit of a surprise.
Once they're reunited,
she just falls into that mother role straight away. And
it was actually, now that we've been thinking and talking about that, I really like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
I thought it was really nice watching them. And Mabel is very forgiving, but she's not a doormat. I never got the impression, physically she's not a doormat, but emotionally and mentally, even though people make decisions for her, I still don't ever got the impression she was a doormat.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they actually have a good relationship and they work on it and they actually openly communicate, which is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that part of the book too.
And actually what causes Isabella to open her heart in the end to Robin is because she sees how forgiving and caring Mabel is. And it's made her realise that Robert's actually been that forgiving and caring their entire life.
Yes, yes.
And she realises at the end she's got to take a risk. And she kind of weighs it up in, well, from what I've seen of Robert, I think he really is going to stick around. So I've got to take this leap. And it's nice. It's nice. And I think he's a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's a good guy. They're flawed. They're all flawed.
Oh, yeah. They make some questionable decisions.
And, I mean, look, we'll just say it. In Isabella's quest to stay in the circus, she goes and has sex with Robert because she knows he loves her. And she's like, well, if I give him this, he'll he'll help me because his brother is the owner, manager. I can't remember. He's the manager of the circus. I can't remember. Anyway, as the active manager of the circus, he has a lot of pull.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, I'll play into the emotions I know he has for me and, you know, he'll be able to pull some strings. And in the end, Robert's like, I'm done with this because
we've got to stop doing this.
Yes. Yeah. I'm in love with you and I want all of you. I just don't want this part of you. And she's like, well, I can't give you all of me. And he's like, well, I'm not going to have any of you at all. But he's still there. He's still supporting her, but putting that big boundary in place, which is actually really good for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it makes her realize how much he loves her.
Yes.
So I thought that was just, you know, I thought it was, you know, realistic and real, but genuine at the same time. I liked it.
Yeah.
And there was no easy discussion, like no easy end to depression. Like there was no solution offered.
No.
It was just, I know Robert saying to Isabella that you're going to have however long these, you know, melancholy moments will be, weeks, months, whatever, but I'm here.
Yes.
So he's going in completely wide, eyes wide open. And I think I liked that. It was just, it was real.
Yeah, it was very real. Yeah. Yeah. So who would you recommend this book for? Who do you think would enjoy it?
I think readers who like, if you solely like light and fluffy reads, no, don't read it. But if you really want a good book that's different because it's a circus setting, it's not, that's not particularly usual. And the setting in 1911 was nice, actually. There was the burgeoning, I can never say that word,
I'm not sure what you're trying to say.
I know what I'm trying to say. Technology, like...
Oh, yes.
...is you can see, you know, there's cars in New York, but not that many.
Yes.
And there's just, you know, I guess the oncoming of newer technologies. And, like, the building they were staying in one of them had plumbing, which is unusual for the time. So there was lots of little things and... It was nice being set in New York for the most part. But if you like books that are full of lots of gutsy kind of topics and but still a good, easy book to read, it's not, you don't have to slog your way through this book. If you just want a good read that's got lots of weighty topics that's keep you interested along the way.
Yeah, because I kind of read it really easily and then I got to the end and I read the author's note and I'm like, oh, actually, I just went through a whole big heap of heavy topics, but it didn't feel super heavy to read.
Because sometimes you come away from a book and you feel like you've just been like, oh, my gosh, oh, I can't handle all the darkness in the topics. Yeah. Whereas she did a really good job of balancing the heavy topics with keeping it within a fiction book.
Yes.
Because sometimes authors get a little like, this is my soapbox I'm going to stand on and I'm going to, you know, vent all my feelings about this topic through my characters. But you can see that as a reader, it always comes through, whereas that was didn't come through and it was nice that it was the character's journey with this rather than the author's voice coming in and kind of hitting you over the head with it.
Well, before we move on, is there anything else you'd like to add about the book?
Mabel was very fashionable.
Oh, she was.
She wore beautiful tailored outfits and I actually wanted her to, like, move into fashion rather than stay in the circus.
Yeah, I think it would have been a good move for her to get away from that because it was sort of...
She was kind of... It was demeaning for her and she felt that in the way she was objectified.
Yeah, they started putting these posters up around town of her dressed quite scantily and that she'd read news articles about her which focused so much on her body.
Yeah, and she didn't like it, but she didn't end up...
But she didn't get away from it.
No, and
She kind of embraced it in the end.
Yeah, and I was a bit like, but you hate it. And she clearly loves fashion, and I was like, oh, well...
Get into fashion.
That's what I wanted her to do, and that would have been a great story for her, even in her height, to, you know, design clothes for people like her or design clothes for people who don't quite fit the mold. I mean, hello, we're still trying to find people to design clothes for people who don't fit the mold even now. And we have not fixed it. So I would have liked, I just kind of liked that. I would have preferred that ending for her.
Yeah, yeah. And Jake always wanted to go back to Kansas.
Yes.
But he ends up staying in the circus doing a different role with horses.
Which is what he preferred.
Yeah, he seems quite content with that.
He did. I kind of just want them all to leave the circus.
Yeah.
I think once they're done, that's part of your life. I understand this is all Mabel's known.
Yes.
So it's very hard to break from that.
Yeah.
Whereas I kind of would have liked to see them all just move on a little bit. You know, look at that as that part of their life. They're healed and then start new something together.
Yeah.
That's what I would have liked.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that sums up.
Yeah. The Weight of Air.
The Weight of Air. Yes, I enjoyed it. If you've got some comments about what we've spoken about today, or if you'd just like to add something else, you can head over to our Facebook page, the Rima Book Club, and leave your comments there. We'd love to hear from you. We might take another short break and then come back and talk about our book of the month and what we've been reading ourselves.
This is the Rima Book Club.
You're back with the Rima Book Club here on Rima 99.7. We've actually been talking about The Weight of Air, which was our book of the month, but we've also been reading some other stuff ourselves.
Yes, we have.
What have you been reading, Jess?
Well, I have my Kindle. So I recently turned 40, which I didn't try to think about for a while, but I've embraced it now. I'm 40.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. But I had friends give me an Amazon voucher and other friends give me some money, and I wanted a Kindle e-reader because I used to have one years and years ago, but it doesn't work anymore. And I don't like reading on my iPad or my phone, partly because I'm always on them, and secondly, if I'm reading and a text message comes through, well, I get interrupted, and then I go down some rabbit hole looking through my phone, and suddenly I've stopped reading 3 hours ago. So the e-reader is just a book on my device, and I have a pretty cover. So I've actually been reading a little bit more because of that.
Okay.
Which was the point. But I actually read a couple of books. I read she is one of my author friends. Actually, two of the authors I'm going to talk about are author friends of mine. Then they live in, they're US authors. One is Lisa Phillips. She's very lovely. She writes romantic suspense, and I've heard about her books. I've never actually read one. I was like, that's it. Going to read one. So I went and read one, and because it's in a five book set, so on my Kindle is just all five books, and it's called First Wave. Oh good, I almost forgot it. It's called First Wave, and it's just sit down, seat of your pants, just action. It was great.
Wow.
I loved it, and I'm very glad there's four other books ready for me to go when I'm done. So I really enjoyed that one. The other one was The Beacon Street Bookshop by Carla Laureano. And if you haven't read Carla, you need to read Carla. She writes romance, and this is romance women's fiction, and they're just fantastic. She's just fantastic. She does deep characters while still doing great romance and keeping it. There's some humour, lots of humour. So this one is set in a little Colorado town, and it's a kind of town that's dying, but it's slowly revitalising, and a woman and her stepdaughter are trying to put their life together, and she's trying to get over the death of her husband, which was obviously her stepdaughter's dad, and she's the guardian of her stepdaughter, and they have a good relationship, but it's a bit surfacey, and they have to work pretty hard to pull, like, to actually get that depth of relationship, but it's so well done. And the romance was just, I love it. It was great.
Yeah.
And so I read that one. And now I'm currently reading, it's called My Phony Valentine by Courtney Walsh.
And that's the
fake dating.
Fake dating you're talking about.
Yes. So yeah. It's about a chef who fake dates a ice hockey player. And the reason she fake dates him is because she was in a bind at a cafe, and basically she lives in a small town, and this guy was visiting the small town. And basically we'll call the high school popular girl is still in town, and she's mean to Poppy, our heroine. And Poppy, in a moment of complete insanity, just grabs the first guy near her and says, "Honey, this is, meet my, Mrs. Muir, my new boyfriend, basically. And then she basically lies outright to high school mean girl woman. And this guy plays along with it. And turns out he's her favourite hockey player. And so now half the town thinks they're dating, so they kind of have to date. And it happens to help his career and happens to help her restaurant. And now they're trying to not actually kind of fall in love, similar why we all like it. But it's hilarious. The first couple of chapters, I was just cacking myself laughing.
Aww.
It was just, and it's just so well done. So, and I will tell you how it goes when I finish it, when we next time, but it's a good book.
Well,
what about you?
Speaking of cacking yourself laughing.
Or not.
I got given this book by Richard Osman called The Thursday Murder Club. And the front cover and the back cover and everything always, it's saying it's laugh out loud funny, it's hilarious, that kind of thing. I'm about an eighth of the way through it. I haven't laughed yet.
That doesn't bode well, you know.
No, but maybe they're just setting up the character. And that kind of thing.
I mean, if you haven't laughed at all.
No, right. Not at all. Mm. Maybe it's like a more subtle type of humour that I'm not getting or something.
Maybe. I mean, humour is really funny, isn't it? Like, you know, some people just not find what you find funny and vice versa.
Yeah.
Humour is so subjective. But I hope it gets funny.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit what it's about.
Yeah, because it looks interesting.
It's set in a luxury retirement village, and it centres around four of the residents there.
Yep.
And they start this thing called the Thursday Murder Club. So they go into one of the meeting rooms,
yep,
and they have a discussion about like cold cases try and figure out these old murders.
Oh,
and
that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. So that one of the characters is a nurse, so that she's got skills like they like, oh, how long would it take for this character to bleed out, you know, if they would stab with this implement and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
And then, it's meant to be funny.
It's meant to be funny.
Okay. I can see how it can be funny based on what you've just told me. I'm not sure.
Well, there's a real murder in the village so the greater village that they live in.
Is it British?
It's British.
It sounds British.
It does. It's very British. And so because there's a real murder, they're all like, ooh, we can investigate a real murder, you know, like a new, fresh one.
Yeah.
And
it's like Agatha Christie in a nursing home.
Well, yeah.
Or Miss Marple in a nursing home.
Miss Marple, probably, yeah. Yeah, so it's interesting. But not yet as laugh out loud funny.
So it's a good book. It's just not living up to the thing that's advertised the most about it.
So I'm hoping it as I get through it a bit more, because they've kind of set up these characters.
By the sounds of it, there's a few characters at play. So you do have to set them up.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it two males and two females?
Two males, two females. But then there's all the little side characters as well in the nursing home. And and then the murder victim, we met him.
We met someone
who looks like the most likely person to have killed him.
Well, yes, you have to meet everyone, even the actual murderer. So you're surprised when you discover who the murderer is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's and there's police officers that we've met. Yep. So there's a whole bunch of people. So, yeah, he's got to set all this up. I think there's a few books in this series.
Okay.
The Thursday Murder Club.
You'll have to finish it and let us know if it's funny.
So that, yeah.
Or
I'll
gets
talk
funnier.
About it next month and tell you if I started laughing out loud or not. Yeah. So on a totally different end of the spectrum.
Yes.
Our book of the month for next month. Shall we talk about that?
Yes.
It's actually a local author, Anne-Marie Skinner. So some people might have heard of her. She has some songs that we play on Rima FM. But she's also a writer and a poet.
She's a bit of everything.
Yeah, she's a bit of everything. She's a Jill of all trades.
Yes, there you go. Yes.
And she's written a book about going through a valley season in her life, a really quite terrible valley season.
Lots of things.
Yeah, lots of things that she's had to deal with, and how she's come out the other end. And it's called Life with Rough Edges.
And so we actually will hear from Anne-Marie. She'll join us in the studio.
Yeah. So it's a devotional.
Yes.
Anne-Marie will talk about it. But if you'd like to read along with us, you can get, you have to go to her website,
yes,
I think.
Yes, go to her website, which is AnneMarieSkinner.com,
I think.
Pretty sure.
I think it's AnneMarieSkinner.com. And order a copy of Life with Rough Edges, and then you can read along with us. And we'd love to have your company. If you have any comments about anything that you've heard today, you can head over to the Rema Book Club Facebook page and write something there. If you're not a member yet, you can join up. We'd love to have your company there.
So you'll need to go to her website, annemarieskinner.com.au.
So that's N-A-N-N.
MarieSkinner.com.au. And you can get copies of her book, particularly for local readers.
Yes.
I believe there might still be, you can order through her website and then you can pick up books through the Rema office here.
Yes, yes.
So that is option is also available.
Yeah.
Or she will post to you, but you also have to pay the delivery fee. But yes, so you can order from her website and get it sent to you as well.
Yeah, so I've had a little bit of a flick through and really enjoyed it. So
It's very colourful.
Yeah.
It's a very beautiful book. And there's some poems that divide up the chapters.
Yeah, so it's a bit of an interesting book. It's not just a devotional.
No, it's not. It's not just a devotional.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that a bit more next month. So love to have your company. Yeah.
Tune in and hang out with me and Alison and Anne-Marie.
Yeah, second Sunday of every month at 3 p.m. Anyway, that's about it for today. I hope you've enjoyed the show and we'll catch you again next month. Bye.
The Rema Book Club.